Hi, listeners. Welcome back to another episode of My Sister Made Me View It, currently covering the Stormlight Archive by Brandon Sanderson. Even more specifically, we're finishing part two of Oathbringer today.
Yes!
My name is Megan, and I should probably still be wolfing down dinner.
My name is Emily, and I should be working on my book.
But instead?
Instead?
We're making a podcast.
We're making a podcast!
Oh my gosh. So this week we covered a number of chapters, short, tiny ones. Part two has been really interesting, huh? A lot of small points of view from all around. Mm-hmm. But specifically,
not like, ugh, this is boring. When are we going to get to the action? Like, yeah. Everything has been payoff.
Yeah. So specifically today we are covering chapter 53, Such a Twisted Cut. Chapter 54, An Ancient Singer's Name. Chapter 55, Alone Together.
Alone Together.
Chapter 56, Always With You. And Emily has not read it yet. I will be reading it to her live on this episode. Chapter 57, Passion. Hey, Emily, at first brush, what did you think of the chapters you did get to read? Give me the things you were most excited about reading this week.
The most excited I was about reading, I was hoping we're going to get more Kaladin, and we get a brief Kaladin moment, and he's the best person that's ever lived. Good heavens.
He's trying. Do you know what? It's the next step is always the most important. They can't see it on the podcast. Emily's like, you have something in your teeth. And I'm like, you have something up your butt.
I'm just saying, if I had something in my teeth, I'd want someone to tell me.
I'm not going to tell you.
We read it for the last reading, but we didn't get to talk about it. But I'm excited to talk about it. Now, we get to see Yasna put Amaram firmly in his place. Which, Ooh. Listen... felt so right and so good, but I'm pretty sure that's going to come back to burn us or bite us somehow, because we know Amaram has, well, I'm 99% sure Amaram still has the Herald in Sadeus's war camp somewhere. And Yasna just like kind of loses her temper, but it was so satisfying to watch, because Amaram... listen, I'm going to try and say this as politely and non-politically as possible.
Nope,
Amaram
be mean.
Is a nice guy, quote unquote. He's one of the guys that's going to come to you and be like, I'm just a nice guy and nobody likes me and I don't know why, because I'm such a nice guy. But
I'm just a product of my, I'm just a product of my society.
But I'm going to come bug you again saying we should be together. Let's be together. And Yasna tells him no for the 57th time. No wonder she loses her temper.
Hey, Emily.
Megan.
What was Yasna and Wit hanging out for their hangout like?
What?
Like, okay, sorry. Insulting people like this feels like a very Wit thing to do. Do you think Yasna picked up on this from hanging out with
Wit? Yes, that makes perfect sense.
All right. Let's start chapter 53. Tell me about this herald.
So this is Paala.
Yeah.
Okay. But she's got the hair like Storm.
Mm-hmm.
And there are two of her. So there's four altogether. One, two, one, two.
Yep. She is about being learned and giving, and she's the patron of the Order of the Truth Watchers.
Which is Renarin.
That is Renarin. And guess what? He's here.
He's here freaking finally.
All right. So what is Yasna researching? Sorry. What Yasna's talking about some historical stuff.
Do you want me to do the epigraph?
I think I already asked you for the epigraph, and I just got so excited. All right, give me that epigraph.
Friend, your letter is most intriguing, even revelatory. Somebody's giving away state secrets.
As is tradition, at the end of this part, I get to read you
the whole thing.
Compiled epigraphs.
Yeah. Yes.
All right, now tell me what
she is. Oh, this story was fabulous. Great. I loved it. She is researching the death of this king called King Nanket. And the author of that text, Natata Ved, often called Oil Eyes by her contemporaries. Do we learn more about this person who has this fascinating name, Oil Eyes?
Rafo.
No, tell me.
Rafo?
No, tell me.
Wow, do you know what? You've changed my mind. Rafo.
Rude. She's trying to do this, she's trying to learn more about this king, and says Yasna had long been interested in Nanket's death because he'd ruled only for 3 months. It talks about he succeeded to the throne once his brother sickened and died, but there were so many assassination attempts. So in 3 months, Nanket survived 6 assassination attempts. One came from his sister who wanted her husband on the throne. He then put them both to death. Then came their son. He killed that one. And so many people, just one after the other after the other. So Nanket's solution is to call his whole entire family together, the whole household. He gathered them together at a grand feast, promising the delights of distant Amia. I don't know how you say it. Instead, when all were assembled, Nanket had them executed one by one. Their bodies were burned in a grand pyre on which was cooked the meat for the feast that he ate alone at a table set for 200. Natata Oil Eyes was known to have a passion for the dramatic. The text sounded almost delighted when she'd explained how he died by choking on the food that was at that very feast alone with nobody to help him. Like, talk about instant karma.
Wow.
Okay. So the idea had merit. We're like, listen, we're just going to cut this off at the source. Everybody that I know that is related to me is trying to kill me, so I'll just take them all out. But the idea of, like, inviting guests into your home, like, you talk about, like, the Fae and how, like, there's all these rules when it comes to, like, entertaining or inviting guests into a home or the court or whatever, and you're usually safe if you abide by the rules of, you know, guest right or being a host. And the idea that he invited them all there and then killed them, duh, of course he died because he quote unquote broke the rules. And I know that, like, this isn't like fairy tale sort of a thing, but it also felt like that, of just like, here is a story, here is the moral of the story. Don't be a dick.
Well, like, okay, Yasna has just survived barely a pretty stringent assassination attempt. Mm-hmm. At astringent, that's not the word I want. A pretty serious assassination attempt.
Yeah.
And we know that she is assassinly minded all of the time.
Mm-hmm. She pays assassins. She knows assassins.
And despite all of her preparation, the assassin in white killed her father. And her own assassination did not go the way that she planned.
Yeah.
And so it seems like... she's like, okay, is it the best solution to make sure no one is around to kill you?
Mm-hmm. So listen, I will say, I was quite horrified at the beginning because I misread this. And I read that he ate everyone that he killed. And I was like, yeah, of course you died. No, he did not eat the people he killed.
Cool motive, still murder.
He cooked the food upon the pyre.
This is a historical, this is a history of Yakubed, which is where Shallan is from.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But Yasna is talking about all the things that they have discovered. Like, I have a bone to pick with the security team that hangs out and watches out for Yurithiru, because they find a way out of Yurithiru. And Yasna's like, oh, that's a relief that there's a second exit.
Remember, in Dalinar's last chapter, he's like, don't box people in. They'll fight real hard.
Have none of them ever read The Two Towers?
Considering it doesn't exist in this universe, I don't think Brandon provided a copy to his fictional characters.
I'm just saying.
Are you talking about the caves underneath Helm's Deep?
Yes. And listen, if you can get out of your own fortress, someone can get in. Doors work both ways. According to Hawkeye.
You're talking about the little more than a storm drain that the guy blows up.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see.
We'll see.
Anyway, she has some thoughts about Renarin. So she makes it to the library, which all the books have been evaporated by time. Mm-hmm. They've just worn away. But Navani has set up this library space as research headquarters. And Renarin is there. Read me what she thinks of Renarin.
So he's there in his Bridge 4 uniform talking to the scholars. And she says, "You can't spend forever floating between worlds, cousin," she thought. "Eventually you'll need to decide where you want to belong. Life was so much harder, but potentially so much more fulfilling when you found the courage to choose." Now, I find this rich, coming from Yasna Kulin, who can literally world jump. Not world hop, like some of the Cosmere people, but I'm talking, like, from here to Shadesmar. Like, and listen, also I get where she's coming from, because she's very firm in her convictions and, like, is very assured of who she is and what she believes and what she does not believe. But I just had to laugh just a little tiny bit where I'm just like,
Okay, so Renarin makes a choice. Who is Renarin? Prophesy, witch.
Oh.
Want Renarin to be Bridge 4? Does he abstain his noble title? Does he leave the world behind and take up greater responsibility to his family?
Here's the thing. When you join Bridge 4, nobody asks you to stop being who you are. So I feel like whoever Renarin becomes, he will always be welcome in Bridge 4.
That's nice.
Yeah. But I want him to choose Bridge 4. That's what I want. And we get a little bit more about how weird this is of what he's doing from mm-hmm. the other Bridgemen later on. Mm-hmm. But yeah, right now he's here with the scholars, and Yasna is thrilled. She's absolutely thrilled that all the scholars are here.
But first, before we jump in, she has a sort of coalescing thought about her reading from before. Mm-hmm. That she has done all this work to protect her family from outside assassins. Mm-hmm. But she feels like without her, the family is tearing apart from the inside.
Where is that? We're not even there yet.
It's just after she sees Renarin.
Well, you jumped ahead from what I was going to say.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were jumping past it. So what were you going to say first?
For over a decade, she dreamed of uniting the best minds of the kingdom in a coordinated effort. She'd been ignored. All anyone had wanted to discuss was her lack of belief in their god. While they were focused now, turned out that the end of the world had to actually arrive before people would start taking it seriously. And I love finally getting Yasna's point of view, because when she's kind of introduced, even like when Shallan first introduces her, it's kind of like, from what I remember, Yasna the heretic, Yasna the non-believer. Like, that's like almost her title, and people are so obsessed. Why are you so obsessed with me? They're so obsessed with what she believes that that's all people see. It's just what mm-hmm. she does not have in her life or what she is missing.
Are you for us or against us? How do we sort you into us versus them?
Yeah, yeah. When Yasna is one of the most richly created characters, that's a terrible way of saying it, but Yasna is just so full of life and so full of conviction that it almost doesn't matter to me that she doesn't believe. But again, I'm not a Lethi, and so, like, I don't quite see eye to eye with what they're doing, but I found it sad. I just found it really sad that that's all she was remembered for up to that point, was Yasna the heretic, when really she's Yasna the radiant. She's Yasna the protector. She's Yasna the one that's smarter than Elokar.
Like, she has depth.
So
what I was going to say is she coalesces her thoughts about this story she read, that this king who was threatened was not threatened by outside forces. It was his own family. Mm-hmm. And she is considering, you know, what do I do if my family is imploding? Because her brother and her uncle, whom she knew loved each other deeply, ground their wills against each other like mismatched gears. Mm-hmm. So,
and this
gonna happen.
This started me on a worried path, because she said she would not have her family implode. If Alethkar was going to survive the desolation, they'd need committed leadership, a stable throne. Guess who's the most stable out of all of them at this point?
Alethkar.
No, Yasna. Oh,
yeah. Women can't inherit the Alethkar throne, though. You know
what? Did we not learn in this reading that change is coming and change is okay and don't be afraid of change?
She is going to assassinate her brother, like in the story we read, so she can have the throne.
She's going to find what he wants, trade it to him for the throne.
What does he... He has a wife and child and a throne? Mm-hmm. What more could he want?
Maybe he just wants to be a normal person. Maybe he didn't ask for this, Megan. Maybe he doesn't want to be king. Maybe he just wants to run and let the wind flow through his hair.
All right. Well, put a pin in that.
Okay. Because I'm just saying, I was worried because all of a sudden she's like a stable throne. And she just names like these two people that aren't stable and can't do it. Like, and Adolin...
Alucard's getting better, though, right?
Oh, yes.
He's, like, getting a little bit of a firmer foundation.
Yes,
maybe
yes.
She has to My Fair Lady her own brother.
I was going to say, Adolin doesn't want the throne. Adolin wants to be the greatest duelist that ever was.
Adolin does want to let the wind flow in his hair as he yes. rides into the sunset with Shallan.
Mm-hmm. And Renarin, we know right now, doesn't know what he wants, but I don't think he wants the throne. I don't think he has currently the confidence to be on the throne. Maybe that will change one day. But, like, that kind of only leaves Yasna.
I was going to be like, or Shallan! But I'm like, no, if Yasna can't inherit, then Shallan definitely can't inherit. Anyway, she's walking around the room. She's listening to other people's conversations.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the conversations she picks up
is about her cousin, Renarin.
And the Storm Wardens want... The Storm Wardens? The Storm Wardens want to... pick him up. He shows interest in numerology and asked if we could truly predict events with it. I will speak to him again.
Mm-hmm. And she sends Ivory to watch them. Mm-hmm. And he, okay. Also, I need to apologize. My dog is going to town on a bone in the background and it is keeping him occupied. So if you hear weird noises on the microphone, I've tried to put him in the back far corner, but apologies. Oh.
Letting my cats run around for the last 2-hour podcast. All three of them are now snoozing for this podcast. So thank goodness.
We learned this about Ivory in the previous chapter. We didn't bring it up, but he cannot change. He cannot change his shape, but he can change his size. So Ivory can, he shrinks down to the size of a dust speck. Like he can turn into a
Shard blade.
Thank you. I was going to say storm blade. I'm like, don't you do it. Don't you do it. but he shrinks down to the size of a speck of dust. Yasna made a note to speak to Renarin. She would not have him wasting his time with a bunch of fools who thought they could foretell the future based on curls of smoke from a snuffed candle. Okay, Yasna. Just return and start bossing everybody around and tell them what's best for them.
You said she was the most fit to rule.
<I knew>.
So what is it? Does she have, is she the most put together person who should be in charge? Or?
Listen, you're making fun of me. And I get it. I'm just saying, it's, to me, it's hilarious. Because if anyone came and tried to tell Yasna what to do, she'd probably put them on her assassination list. But here, she, like, every time she thinks about someone else.
Make fun of them until they cry.
Yeah. Every time she thinks about someone else, she's thinking about what they should be doing, and she's going to tell them what they should be doing. Like, I love Yasna. This is not me being like, oh, she's a terrible person. I just find it fascinating that every thought she has about someone else is what a bad job they're doing at running their own lives, and if she was in charge, she could do it better.
Well, listen, some of us should be in charge.
We have extended family members who you and you talk to them and you tell them what's going on in your lives and they go, no, you shouldn't be doing that. You should do this instead. Every single time you talk to them.
You have a sister who does that to you. I'm pointing at myself. Every single time you talk to me on the phone about anything, I'm like, well, have you considered doing this other thing instead? Did you write an email to that person I told you to email? You didn't? No.
And anyway, I'm just pointing things out that Yasna thinks that she knows what's best for everyone. And I love that. Okay, so you can get a character that does that, and that can be extremely annoying because you're usually the person that's being told what to do and you find it annoying that this person is bossing you around. I love getting it from the other side, the other perspective of, I mean, she knows Renarin is the son of a, you know, person. He's in line for the throne. He's radiant. He's all of these things. And he doesn't know what to do. Like, even she's just like, cousin, you have to choose. You have to do this. She wants to run everybody's lives. And I wonder what the world would look like if Yasna Kalin was in charge. But the thing is, people cannot control every single aspect. So I wonder if Yasna could ever truly be happy or satisfied.
I can never be satisfied. Yasna is talking to some friends on her span reads.
Instant message. She has 16 chat windows open at once.
Yeah. And she has got, she's doing a three-way chat right now. That way, okay, so they've got like, here we go. She is connected to someone, and then the three of them would be surrounded by 6 span read boards, one each for receiving comments and one each to send back the entire conversation in real time, including from comments from both remaining threads. This way, each conversant would be able to see a constant stream of comments without having to stop and wait for reply. So it's constantly like someone in the chat is typing. Several people are typing all the time. So tell me about her two buddies. Tell me about Jochi.
Jochi, is, are you sure it's not Yochi?
Oh, I'm not sure at all. Yochi.
Yochi is not a female. Yochi nope. is a man. Yeah. And I love that Yasna was just like it doesn't even faze her. Like
it's something they joke about now because mm-hmm. Yochi is a scholar who writes underneath a feminine pen name, mm-hmm. but secretly is a guy in his 60s.
I want to meet him so bad. He seems amazing. He seems like, I don't know, someone who would live in the New England area and like be fastidious and wonderful. And I just want to meet them and go tour their house.
They both studied under the same master studying Veristatalianism. Mm-hmm. And we don't know much about where Yasna learned about this, but that might be the person who gave her the Book of Endless Pages.
Oh. Remind me what the Book of Endless Pages is.
Book of Endless Pages is an empty journal that is like a symbol of Veristatalianism because you can never fill all the knowledge of the world in one book. And she gave it to Shallan, and this blank book was supposed to symbolize that there's always more knowledge to be discovered. And originally,
but unless you write it down, no, is like, it discovered?
No, Emily, it's a metaphor, okay? It's supposed to be a lovely symbol. And this specific Book of Endless Pages was given to Yasna from someone she respected. We don't know who that was. And she gave that copy to Shallan, but it went down with the wind's pleasure.
Okay.
Okay. Might be in the chest O books that got recovered. Where, I don't know. It wasn't mentioned. But that was what Brandon originally wanted to call Words of Radiance, was the Book of Endless Pages. And his editor was like, absolutely not.
But you've got Yochi, and then you have Ethid.
And where is Ethid located?
Ethid is in, because Yochi is in Thalen City. Mm-hmm. Oh, she's in Azish, the Azish Royal Palace. She's in Azirona.
Not only that, she's a scion, a scribe in the palace of Azir, which is a big deal. We know that.
Yeah, yeah.
That was one of the things that I believe Sigzil applied to be, and he was not accepted.
Got it.
So they are like, here's the deal. Have you read the novella Edge Dancer? And they keep her up to date. They're like, we think we have found a herald. We think we found Naylin. And we had a radiant here, an Edge Dancer. We lost her. She ran off. And she is just a kid, a reishi kid. She chased after the herald to Tashik, but the prime says she is back now and avoiding me.
Which, you know, makes sense. But the thing is, Yochi pipes up, Harold's alive and trying to kill people. And here I thought my news about a sighting of Axes the Collector was interesting.
Hey, there he is!
We know
it's
him!
It's that guy! It's that guy! Mm-hmm. Anyway, Yasna now has a source that can sketch the faces of the heralds.
Yep.
Who and how?
Well, Shallan.
And how?
Dalinar's visions. Oh, okay. Dalinar's visions.
I'm like, where would Shallan have seen all of the heralds?
She hasn't been in the visions, though.
No, but I... Oh, not that we've read, but I mean, like, where else would Shallan...
Does that happen in the future?
I mean, mate, honestly, not to my knowledge. I just assumed she was one of the people they brought in.
Okay.
Because how else would Shallan know the faces of the 10 heralds? Mm-hmm. My bad. But anyway, Yasna's like, they are not going to be a resource. The heralds are broken. And these three buddies all get on the same page that Dalinar is a radiant. He is not insane. And the visions are real. So there was an outlier that people ignored way earlier in the book. And Yasna has picked up on it. And it is that some of the Thalen Parshmen have stolen ships and have done contracts. These were the ones that presented contracts.
Yes.
And so Yasna is noticing these outliers because Dalinar was like, okay, besides these people here, this all proves that this is what the Voidbringers are doing. And Yasna's like, that is an outlier and must be counted. Mm-hmm. Eventually, as she wraps up, was there anything else in the conversation you specifically wanted to ping?
I just loved that, because Yasna is talking about, like, here's all the radiants we have and blah, 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 blah. Storms, Ethan wrote, the Blackthorn is actually a radiant, years of drought, and now they're popping up like rock buds. Ethan did not think highly of men who earned their reputations through conquest, despite having made the study of such men a cornerstone of her research. I love that little,
good,
like...
That was a good ping.
Ping, yeah. Just, like, the flavor of it all of... Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got distracted because what are Navani and Shallan talking about in the corner?
The wedding.
The wedding. The wedding. It's very clear at this point that I don't think Navani is going to get to plan a wedding for Yasna.
Right.
And her own wedding was quite quick, even though she did plan it out and she brought her wedding clothes with her to
Yerthu. Yep, uh-huh.
But I think Navani is so hyped to plan a royal wedding.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because Yasna is focused on this conversation that has six boards in front of her and doing all of this at once. And she's, you know, searching the room, listening to what Navani and Shallan are saying, and she's picking up that Renarin is, like, mumbling to himself, and she... Are you okay?
Yeah. There's just some crud in the bottom of my glass, and I'm making sure it's just crud that's supposed to be there. Because I have a fear of accidentally drinking a bug from a drink I've left out during the day, but it's just normal tea grubs. Not grubs, because that is bugs. Normal tea leaf stuff. Residue. That's the word I'm looking for.
And she's seen Renarin in the corner mumbling to himself, and she reads his lips, and he's saying, it's coming from in here, Renarin said, somewhere in this room. But Yasna, like, puts her hand on Shallan's shoulder, and Shallan then follows the gaze of Yasna's eyes to what Renarin is doing. What, Shallan whispered. I don't know, Yasna said, something odd. Something about the way the youth was standing, the words he had spoken. He still looked wrong to her without his spectacles, like a different person entirely. And I love that, like, we're seeing Renarin, like, I'm not going to say, like, try on different personalities, but He is at a point where, like, I think he's almost growing faster than he can keep up with himself. Mm-hmm. And so much is happening to him. Like, yeah. Suddenly he's come from this being this obscure second son to you're a Radiant and you have these powers and you're a part of Bridge 4 with all these friendships. And, like, all of a sudden his life is so much bigger and way more than he imagined. And I don't think he can quite keep up with everything. But on top of all of that.
Yeah.
Somebody
wait,
comes
wait.
In.
First, I want to talk about his Bren.
Okay. That no one has seen.
Yeah. And so she was asking Yochi what the Bren of a Truth Watcher is supposed to look like. Mm-hmm. And it reportedly looks like light on a surface after it reflects through something crystalline. We have seen a Bren like that. The shoemaker guy. There was a prism like on the wall.
Okay. I didn't remember that.
Anyway, who's here? Who's here?
It's nice guy Amaram.
Okay, I would like to read the Amaram-Yasna conversation. Would you like to be Yasna or Amaram?
Oh, I'll be Yasna.
Cool,
you need to. You need to do a voice for Amaram.
Oh, I've got one.
Okay.
That's the Amaram voice. Here we go. Yasna. I was told I could find you here.
Remind me to find whoever told you and have them hanged.
Could we speak together more privately, just for a moment?
I think not.
We need to discuss your uncle. The rift between our houses serves nobody. I wish to bridge that chasm, and Delanard listens to you. That is not what she said.
That's not what she's saying. That's
please,
an Yasna. Emily thing.
Please, Yasna, you can steer him properly.
My uncle knows his own mind on these matters and doesn't require me to steer him.
As if you haven't been doing so already, Yasna, everyone can see that he has started to share your religious beliefs.
Which would be incredible, since I don't have religious beliefs.
Please, private?
Not a chance, Meridus. Go away.
We were close once.
My father wished us to be close. Do not mistake his fancies for fact.
Yasna.
You really should leave before somebody gets hurt.
We thought you were dead. I needed to see for myself that you are well.
You have seen. Now leave.
Why, Yasna? Why have you always denied me?
Other than the fact that you are a detestable buffoon who achieves only the lowest level of mediocrity, as it is the best your limited mind can imagine, I can't possibly think of a reason.
Mediocre? You insult my mother, Yasna. You know how hard she worked to raise me to be the best soldier this kingdom has ever known.
Yes, from what I understand, she spent the 7 months she was with child entertaining each and every military man she could find in the hopes that something of them would stick to you.
You godless whore! If you weren't a woman!
If I weren't a woman, I suspect we wouldn't be having this conversation. Unless I was a pig, then you'd be doubly interested.
He just summoned his shard blade.
Oh, please do, Meridus. Give me an excuse. I dare you.
This is such a good conversation.
This is amazing.
Wit would be proud.
Wit would be so proud. Like, he changes tacks several times throughout this thing of just, like,
yeah.
He, like, tries to appeal to her sense of pride about, like, you're so smart, the men around you listen to you, you can do what's right for the country, and you can steer your uncle in the right direction, and only you can do this, Yasna, to, like, trying to play up on her emotions of, like, I thought you were dead, I needed to see you for myself, and, like, try to, like, establish again, like, I feel something for you, and then, like, you know, like, oh, your dad wanted us to be together to you godless whore.
Wow. Okay. I see your true colors. And that's very the Amaram that we know, that he has this pristine exterior and he tells everybody what they want to hear all the time unless you push him too far. And then he flips around on you.
He's absolutely done, yeah.
But anyway, Shallan was like, that was amazing. That was fantastic. I love that so much.
I mean, I'm sure Yasna... Blah, 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 I'm sure Shallan has not told Yasna anything about her and Amaram's history. And is there any reason for Yasna to know this?
I mean, just because she likes to know stuff. I figured if Adolin knows, that maybe some other people know.
Mm-hmm. But did Adolin know the person that Kaladin killed was Shallan's brother? Remind me.
Adolin did know.
He did know. Okay.
Yeah, because Shallan's like, he killed my brother. And Adolin goes, no, that was Kaladin.
But yeah, the thing is, it...
Although, okay, listen, I have no proof of this. Where was the scene where Adolin tells Shallan? It's like early-ish on.
It's like a couple readings back.
Yeah, I'm wondering if, what if Shallan is not remembering that conversation correctly?
That's a possibility.
Because I know we were, listen, I'm not saying I don't trust anything. Okay, they have a vendetta, those two. Because I'm wondering if, no, that's ridiculous. There's no reason why. Okay, no. He definitely knew it was her brother. You know where Amaram got that blade, right? On the battlefield. From Kaladin. The bridge boy in Sissity saved Amaram's life by killing a shard bearer. Amaram killed Kaladin's squad, took the shards for himself. That's basically the entire reason they hate each other. She goes, oh. Okay, yeah. Okay, sorry. My bad. You guys, my bad. Shallan says to Adolin, I think Amaram killed my brother and took his shards. And then Adolin's like, no, Kaladin killed the shard bearer. And then he's like, why did your brother go after Amaram? Would he have known? So yeah, Adolin didn't previously know. Shallan is like, I think Amaram killed my brother. And then Adolin's like, ooh, no, actually Kaladin did. So it's possible. Do you know what? Maybe Adolin hasn't told anybody. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, I don't know. But Shallan plays Yasna here.
Well, it's okay. Really fast, I want to point one more thing out about Yasna and then jump into Shallan. Because Shallan is just like, oh my gosh, Yasna, that was amazing. You put him in his place, you know, because I think these are all things that Shallan wishes she could do. Mm-hmm. But Yasna says, I let myself be pushed into abundant emotion. And Shallan's like, but you were so clever, which we know that Shallan highly, highly values. And Yasna responds, and yet my first insult was not to attack him, but the moral reputation of his female relative. Clever or simply the use of an obvious bludgeon? Yeah.
Yeah. So Shallan plays Yasna like a fiddle in this chapter.
Oh, yeah.
Being like, I'm so sorry. Elokar really needs me to go on this expedition. Mm-hmm. And Yasna's like, he's got Kaladin. What does he need you for? He thinks we might need to sneak into this city, even though we know that it was Shallan's idea to bring this to him.
Yeah.
And she bats her big old eyes up at Yasna and flinches like Yasna's going to yell at her. And Yasna's like, oh, you know what? Yes, fine. Whatever. Go. And I'm like, ah! Okay. So in the Magnus Archives. By the way, happy Brutal Pipe Murder Day to everyone who celebrates. That's today, February 16th. In the Magnus Archives, there is a character named Martin who is, in the first few seasons, very stammery. And he's just so nice. And he brings everyone cups of tea and this and this and that and that. And, you know, the characters don't think very much of him. But whenever there's a crisis, it turns out Martin is really really good in a crisis, and he obsessively plans ahead for things, and he ends up being at the center of some really complex plots over the course of the podcast where people underestimate him and he ends up really surprising people and getting the better of them. And at one point on in the podcast, one of the antagonists is talking about Martin and mentions that he has gotten more of what he wants with a stammer and a smile than anyone else has with their bluster. And it really reminds me of what Shallan is doing here, that she's using what Yasna thinks she knows of Shallan, mm-hmm. in order to be like, oh, sorry, I can't do anything about it. Even though this was like a whole plan. So yeah, I don't think there's any way Yasna knows about the Ghost Bloods. I don't think there's any way Yasna knows about Vale.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because Yasna is just like, well, I'm going to talk to Elokar because this is too extreme. Again, this is what's good for you, Shallan. You need to stay here. And she wants Shallan to draw Renarin and Kaladin's Spren for scholarly reasons. And then she's like, what is Renarin doing?
What is he doing, Emily?
He is like, I don't want to say having a vision, but he's doing something weird. He is...
Because seeing the future is of the...
bad guys.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that. And he finds a secret drawer secret in the wall. and it pops open. This tile pops open. There is a ruby long as Yasna's thumb cut into a strange shape with holes drilled in it. What on Roshar? And Navani realizes it's not a Fabriel because there's no metal on it. So many imperfections in the cut, Navani said. That will cause it to lose Stormlight quickly. It won't even hold charge for a day, I bet, and it will vibrate something fierce. And so they try it out, and it does indeed vibrate, and Shallan goes, it's a pattern. Buzzes in sequence, Shallan said. My Spren says he thinks this is from a code. Letters? Music of language, Renarin whispered. He drew in Stormlight from some spheres in his pocket, then turned and pressed his hand against the wall, sending a surge of Stormlight through it that extended from his palm like twin ripples on the surface of a pond. Drawers slid open, one behind each white tile, 100, 200, each revealing gemstones inside. The library had decayed, but the ancient radiance had obviously anticipated that. They'd found another way to pass on their knowledge.
Emily, Megan. I am full on telling you something.
Okay, I'm ready.
This is the titular Stormlight Archive.
This is it.
Isn't that so cool?
It's so cool.
And so, yeah, how did Renarin know it was there? He was probably in conversation with his Spren, because we've seen Pattern point things out to Shallan and, like, Syl point things out to Kaladin. And I just want to get in Renarin's head. I want to know what that boy's all about. What is Renarin's time to shine, Emily?
I want it to be soon. And I wonder how old his Spren is, because we know that... when Syl came over, she was very young intellectually. We know Pattern kind of had to grow up and figure things out. We don't know a ton about Ivory, just that, like, he also has kind of had to follow that as well.
Yeah, we know that Ivory was young the last time this happened. Something interesting about Syl is over in Shadesmar, she is the same age as the Honor Spren who have all died, but she wasn't bonded to anyone during the Recreants,
okay.
I believe.
Okay.
To my knowledge.
To your knowledge. So I'm just wondering if, and I can't remember, it's like Gliss or Glace. What's the name of Renarin's Spren?
Gliss. G-L-Y-S.
I'm wondering how old this Spren is, or if the Spren was just like, there is something hidden here. You need to like set it free, or you need to like see what's really going on here. Sort of a thing. And so I'm curious. I am curious as well. I want to know.
Can you tell me? I want to know.
Oh, Megan.
The second princeling. What?
So you and I have been singing a song incorrectly as long as it's been a song out.
What?
So one of the songs we put out on our, my sister made me a playlist, Oathbringer, is because we're always like, boom, crash, the sound of my beat goes heart. On and on and on.
Boom, crash, the sound of my heart, the beat goes on and on and on and on and on.
The song is boom, clap.
Okay.
I hate it. I want it to be boom, crash.
My favorite version of that song that I've ever heard is boom, clap, the sound of my thighs, the shape goes on and on and on and on and on.
It's perfect.
Okay. Yeah. Where is, like, what does Renarin's Spren actually look like? Why? What's so weird about him? What is so weird about this poor guy?
I hope it's a good spren. I hope Renarin has found a good spren and it's not a bad. I hope it's not an odium spren that has... It wouldn't be, though. It doesn't have... Well, no one's seen it.
Oh,
well, no, Renarin.
I don't know if he showed it to us at the end of Words of Radiance or not.
I don't think so, because from what I... Listen, listeners, I could be very wrong. You know this. It was likely that I'm wrong.
6 months ago, easy.
But I was pretty sure that he was like, my spren is shy. Like, no one... Like, I don't think that's we've fair. Seen it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, that's what Yasna said about Ivory. She's like, oh, I wonder what his spren looks like. Have you showed people Ivory, Yasna? Have you? Okay, give me the epigraph and the heralds for chapter 54.
All right. I would have thought before attaining my current station that a deity could not be surprised. Obviously, this is not true. I can be surprised. I can perhaps even be naive, I think.
Tell me about the...
Well, the heralds are Yezrian. Both of them are Yezrian. Who's the king of all heralds. Who's about leadership. And like, okay, by the end of the chapter, Moash becomes a leader. He basically steps into Kaladin's shoes and is like, I'm going to teach you guys to fight. If we can maybe somehow make it to the top of these ladders that we're going to be running at Kolinar, sort of a thing. But Megan, he is 100% on the side of the Voidbringers. It's not even like, hey, we need to find a way to escape. Hey, this isn't fair. Hey, we don't have to do this. It's, they can give me the vengeance that I wanted. And so he wholeheartedly is on their side.
Like, is this... This is the moment where he's like, Kaladin had protected a murderer.
Yeah. He had kind of started to figure it out of just like, hey, that was maybe a bad thing I did, but like, it wasn't my fault. It wasn't my fault. All the way back to Moash from book two is, it's only right that we kill the people that hurt us, and Elokar is the reason my life is so terrible, and if the Voidbringers can give me vengeance, that's who I'm going to side with. Okay, the first time you read this, do you remember your reaction to this reveal?
It wasn't a reveal. I was just like, oh, it's like Kaladin, but dark. That's a little dark for you. Mostly, I remember being so hyped about the Fused. Yes, he killed one of the Fused, and they just come back in another body.
Yeah.
And they're like a dark reflection of the Heralds, who mm-hmm. die but keep coming back in the same body, and then the Fused. So, like, it doesn't feel like the Singers as a whole feel like the Voidbringers, mm-hmm. but the Fused are very much what we imagine the Voidbringers were, right?
Yes, yes.
And Lushi... Love her. And she's actually... So he... Moash is bonding with his bridge crew, let's say. His ladder crew. And then he is frustrated. Also, though, it is kind of disappointing where it's like... Sorry, this is a meta-umbrella storytelling thing. It's kind of disappointing that, like... Oh, yeah, we have this whole subjugated population... that the Alethi have been subjugating the whole time, but once they're freed, don't worry, they're just as bad as humans. So you probably shouldn't even feel bad that humans were doing this to them. And I was like, I don't like that.
I didn't get that from it, but I could see like mm-hmm. where you could get that.
Yeah, where, well, and like Moash is really hyping it up where it's like, oh, they could be just as bad as we are. It's like, yeah, Zeth killed a bunch of people, but a lot of them were, like, really bad people anyway, so don't feel bad.
He felt like he had to.
yeah. So, there are some of the Fused that are mindless, that are not fully here, that, you know, like, laugh and drift off and things like this. Yes?
Sorry, can I interject really fast?
Yeah.
Just one thing. One thing I found interesting is... Moash is there, and this is not as extreme as what happened to Kaladin, but it reminded me of when he went and sat at the Honor Chasm and, like, watched the rain fall into it.
Yeah.
Let go, Moash, something deep within him whispered. Give up your pain. It's all right. You did what was natural. you can't be blamed, stop carrying that burden, let go. So, like, it's not like
the... I love that.
Yeah, it's not, like, the same beat for beat, but just the idea of, like, Kaladin wanting to let go and lose himself in the chasm. Moash letting go. Like, Moash did let go, and he has lost himself now in vengeance. And so I thought that was cool.
I love that. Emily, that is such a cool and good connection.
Thank you. I would... Anyways, yes, we know where I went.
Yeah. Anyway, Moash demands to talk to the manager. Mm-hmm. Moash is Karen-ing, and he's demanding to speak to the manager. He's demanding to see who is in charge. And he ends up mentioning that some of the fused are, like, mindless. But the person he does get to talk to in charge is Lushi, Lady Lushi, who's a favorite of mine. She's very cool and very beautiful.
but they bring him to her and on her turf, which is
the sky. and she was surprised, and she's like, and I'll admit it, I was very angry when you killed me. Because Moash, from his training with Kaladin, was prepared to get yoinked into the air. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Although, listen, he's having a thing with heights a little bit.
Don't he's blame like, him.
Oh, but he realizes, and I love that you connected this to Kaladin at the edge of the Honor Chasm. He realizes while he's up in the air, he doesn't want to die.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He thought he was apathetic. And that he didn't care anymore. Mm-hmm. And he realizes, no, I don't want to die.
Yeah.
But Lushi, and I'm so upset, we cut away because Lushi tells Moash what the Voidbringers are fighting for and their whole purpose and everything.
Yeah.
But the audience doesn't get to know.
Nope.
So she says, are you not angered we took your shards? They were first given to me by a man I betrayed. I don't deserve them. No, not you. It's not your fault. You aren't angry that we conquer you? No. Then what does anger you? What is your passionate fury, Moash, the man with an ancient singer's name? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, it was there, still burning deep down. Storm it. Kaladin had been protecting a murderer. Vengeance, he whispered.
I mean, presence.
Okay, so here's the thing. Yes, Kaladin was protecting a murderer. But Kaladin's oath was, I will protect those I hate, so long as it is right.
Mm-hmm. Is he going to have to protect Moash in the future and be like...
We can only hope. Listen, my dream... Moash, dramatically injured, damsel in distress, and Moash is like, I'll sacrifice myself, and that'll make up for everything bad I ever did. And Kaladin's like, you will not. I'm going to save you. And Moash is like, no, Kaladin, it's too late for me. I don't deserve it. Ask the fandom. Literally everyone would just say, Moash. Okay. What I do not want, I don't want, if I kill myself, then all the bad that I've done will be redeemed. Mm-hmm. I would like to see people earnestly work towards putting right the wrongs that they've done in their lives. Kind of like what Dalinar has been trying to do so far, because he's like, hey, Blackthorn in my youth, the guy was really messed up, and I'm trying to be better.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, the most important step a man can take is the next step. And so I hope... that, like Zeth, Moash gets a chance to feel badly for things he may or may not have done.
So it's okay if Moash does it, but not if Zeth does it. Zeth has, okay,
here's the thing. Now, here's a very, very
so
important distinction.
Rude, Megan.
Just listen and I'll explain.
Okay. Please
now,
do.
We don't know what Zeth has done since the end of Words of Radiance, where he's like, I would like to be different. That is great. We put that part up on a pedestal. Okay. The thing is, Zeth felt bad about what he was doing and kept doing
because
it.
Because he thought he had to. Stop. Sorry.
Wait, keep going. So what I'm trying to say is, if Zeth is feeling badly for what he's done and is trying to put it to rights, That I admire. And that's what I would like for Moash, is regret and penitence. Now, if you feel badly about what you've done, but you still keep doing the bad thing, even though you feel bad about it, that's what's bad.
And so if he feels bad books, about it later, Seth was doing. He can't ever make up for it?
No, I'm saying, if you feel bad, you're like, oh, that was a bad thing I did, and I feel bad, but you keep doing the bad thing, and you're like, but I feel bad about it, so that makes it okay that I'm doing it. That's the bit that's bad. Is feeling bad but still doing it. Yeah. Oh, I feel bad for Seth. He was crying as he was killing all of those people. Stop killing the people!
I find it so funny that we are never going to agree on this.
Never, ever. And we'll just have to see where Zeth's story goes and where Moash's story goes. Emily.
Are they foils?
No.
They're both put in situations that they'd rather not be in.
Listen, situations I'd rather not be in is every single character in this book. So we've got a pin in Zeth. Okay, remember how I was like, Moash great, Moash best, Moash amazing? And then last chapter I said, hey, this is where I start to question Moash. Like, this is where I start to be like, hey, wait a second. Mm-hmm. I'm still that way about Zeth because we haven't seen him since the end of Words of Radiance and don't know what he's been doing. Mm-hmm. If we cut to him and he is crying his eyes out while killing more people, I'm like, are you kidding me? So just wait. We're waiting on what's next for Zeth and what's next for Moash.
Okay, right? okay.
Now, I will say, Zeth has not done anything unforgivable for me.
Okay.
I just don't like him constantly murdering people, even though he feels bad about it. Even though he feels like he had to, but he didn't actually have to. He just thought he did.
Okay.
We'll see. Okay, we'll see where Moash's vengeance story takes him.
All right. I'm excited to take this trip with you.
Anyway, but Lady Lucy explained what the lashed. What the f*** are they called? The fused. The fused. She explained what the fused are doing and why they fight. Emily, what do you think? What do you think that was about?
I think it's going to have to do with the heralds. I think that, like, either... Okay, because here's the clues that I'm putting together is all the creatures on Roshar have gem hearts. So we've got the Parshendi that have gem hearts. We have the great shells that have gem hearts. We have, you know, we've seen multiple creatures here, and the humans don't. And I think the heralds brought people here from another planet.
Okay.
And took over everything. And I think other bad things happen. I think it's more than just, oh, they brought in an invasive species.
Yeah.
But I think that the listeners are the original
people
of members of Roshar. Yeah.
Okay. And in Moesh's post revelations self thoughts, as he's walking back to camp, he mentions that the fused have been reborn for thousands of years, thousands and thousands of years. And a lot of the stuff that the Spren was saying to Venli kind of gives us more hints about that. So Emily, it is highly possible. Do you know what? I'm just going to tell you. I'm going to connect the dots for you.
Oh, thank you.
These specific fused have fought the heralds before.
That makes sense.
There you go.
That makes sense. Like, the idea that, like, the heralds fight the Voidbringers, it makes sense that it would be the same ones if we're following a pattern.
And so you're saying you think the heralds brought people here. So you think heralds first, Voidbringers second, or Voidbringers existed, heralds appeared? Which came first, the Voidbringers or the heralds?
Oh, that's interesting. That's an interesting thing.
Because the return of one meets the return of the other.
Mm-hmm.
Which one shows up first to trigger the others?
Ooh. I think the heralds came first. And then as a safety precaution measure, the Voidbringers came into existence.
All right. Now here's my next question.
Mm-hmm.
How did Venli know about this?
I think she's talked to either the Spren or the spirits. I don't think it was a written down thing. I think it was a, hey, you were there. Let me get your take on it.
Cool. Now, Moash pulls the most Kaladin move of all when he gets back to camp and gets back to his people. What does he do?
He picks up a bunch of poles and he's like, I can train you to be soldiers and we're going to give it all we got, Captain.
Because we're still going to go on this ladder run. Mm-hmm. Just like when he was a slave, he had to go on the bridge runs. And he's like, but I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure you can survive it.
Yeah.
So here we're having a dark Kaladin spinoff story. Mm-hmm. And I like it.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the Moash chapters.
Kaladin is not someone you want to fight against you.
I don't want an evil Kaladin. Well, too bad. You're getting Moash. All right. Chapter 55, Alone Together.
Emily.
Okay, so we're almost at the end of part two. So okay. That was the last Moash chapter of part two. Mm-hmm. And this will be the last Bridge 4 chapter of part two.
Okay.
So tell me about, first off, tell me about the epigraph.
Okay, the epigraph says, I am the least equipped of all to aid you in this endeavor. I am finding that the powers I hold are in such conflict that the most simple of actions can be difficult. And we have Kalek here as the herald. Yeah. K-pop Kalek. Thank you.
Yes. Wait. I want to talk about this. I want to talk about this epigraph for just a little bit.
Okay.
The powers I hold are in conflict. How?
This is Hoyt talking because Hoyt collects powers wherever he goes, like Pokemon.
This is not Hoyt talking.
No. Oh,
this is
you
a reply
said it was
to
a
Hoyt.
Letter.
No. Okay. Uh-oh. I said that this is a response to Hoyt from a letter that Hoyt wrote before.
So is Hoyt the only one of his species? Can there not be another Hoyt person that also collects powers?
Oh, man. Super Rafo. Super Rafo.
I feel like you just answered that question by saying
like you say of his species. I don't know. There are people of a similar age to Hoyt and a similar background, but I honestly don't know if any of them are from his same origins, you know?
Yeah.
Brandon confirmed that he's dated a dragon before.
Oh, I love that.
But a dragon in human form because Brandon's boring. I'm kidding. Brandon, I'm kidding. I know you listen to this podcast. I don't think you're boring, but I think Hoyt would date a lizard. Okay? I think he would. He's got that.
Janeway Paris.
I would kiss a Cardassian kind of vibe to him. Anyway, in the Mistborn trilogy.
Okay. I've read the first one.
You've read the first one.
Yeah.
There are two powers that oppose each other. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the Mistborn trilogy, someone combines those two powers into one new being.
Yes.
Light, spoiler for the second trilogy.
Oh, that... don't tell me. Don't tell me then. I want to read it and find out.
Do you? Do you want to read it? I bought you those books probably 18 months ago.
We have been reading The Way of Kings.
I told you to read Mistborn. You can read it whenever you want. I need Emily Margaret Murphy, Valerie, Elizabeth, Diane, Caitlin Lloyd. I need you to read Mistborn so you and I can talk about the magic systems, the way we can reference Elantris and Warbreaker, okay?
I am not saying no. I'm saying I'm going to read it, but I want to read it with you because you're going to point out all the stuff that I'm going to miss.
What you're going to do is you're going to read the first book, and then we're going to record a special episode on just the first book.
Okay.
And I will point things out to you.
Okay, thank you.
And then we'll just do an episode per book, and we'll just sprinkle them in as a surprise to the listeners. Whenever. Listen, no man knoweth the day or the hour, but you'll just get a Mistborn special dropped on your head because, Emily, I want to do an episode on Mistborn's secret history, and you are depriving me of that. I need you to meet my favorite Cosmere character, Samuel Vimes.
Okay. Sign me up for the next war.
You won't let me read. I bought you $127 worth of Brandon Sanderson books easily 2 Thanksgivings ago.
Yeah.
And you haven't cracked them open. That's not true. You opened Arcanum Unbound.
Thank you.
Treat Edge Dancer. But I'm serious. I need you to go park yourself somewhere and just rip through the book in a weekend. Show the listeners, flex your reading muscles.
Okay.
It's a 3-day weekend. I need you to sit your ass down and read The Final Empire this weekend.
Okay.
I'm going to bother you about it when we record again on Sunday.
Okay.
Okay, listeners. Sorry. Now that I've got that temper tantrum out of the way.
You're very passionate about it.
I want to talk about these epigraphs, but no, Emily hasn't read the second Mistborn era. Okay, let's talk about Relaine.
Relaine?
How's Relaine feeling?
Not great.
Yeah.
Because apparently he and Scar were the only ones who didn't have Stormlight, who couldn't use it. And now Scar can use it, and Relaine is kind of like he's, okay. I feel like this chapter could very easily be misconstrued as, woe is me, everything's terrible, everything's horrible, and to have him come off sounding very whiny and entitled. But I say that coming from my perspective, I come from a very privileged place.
Yeah.
And reading this and seeing Relaine having to see a situation and experience what he's experiencing, like his unfiltered emotion, and then having to filter it to make other people comfortable, made me so sad.
He is constantly having to reassure other people when they feel bad for hurting his feelings.
Yep.
Nobody really apologizes to him. Like, they apologize, but it's more like, you know, somebody calls the Parshendi shellheads, and they look at Relaine and they're like, oh, sorry, I didn't mean it. And he has to make them feel better after they've insulted him.
Yeah.
And he has to deal with their Alethi fragility.
Yeah.
And he mentions some things that feel like pretty common microaggressions for people in our real world, of like people asking him questions about his carapace and wanting to touch it the way that people will want to just reach out and touch someone's hair that's a different texture from their own, even though that's not your business.
Mm-hmm.
Don't touch other people's hair without asking. And that when they were all outcasts in Bridge 4, it was different. And then he shows up and Bridge 4 united against him because he was so different.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kaladin kind of led the example and brought him in. But Kaladin put his own foot in his mouth multiple times talking to Relaine. And something that I would like to point out, that do you remember the carapace armor made from a Parshendi corpse?
I do remember that.
So
how awful Relaine reacted to it.
Yeah. Everyone's personal belongings got left behind in Sadeas's barracks. Like, Kaladin left Hoid's precious flute in those barracks. But people went above and beyond to get that Parshendi armor and hang it up in their new barracks in the Kolin war camps. And I don't know if those have made it back to Yur-Ithiru. I hope not. But it's that, oh, well, Relaine's not like those other listener. Like, he's not like the other Parshendi. He's different.
He's the good one.
He's the good one because we know him. And it's like, no, you guys, you are still, like, even though you are nice to Relaine, your overall racism against the Parshendi is something he still has to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And he is constantly exposed to, and it never stops, even from the people who are well-meaning. So he is, of course, frustrated, but if he were to ever lash out or yell about this, it would probably just be seen as, oh, well, he can't help it because he's like this whole group of people. So Relaine is having a horrible time.
Because he's also seen how what he sees is other people so easily being accepted into Bridge Four. Like, we have Lynn, who's a female, and we even have a Light Eyes who is here as well.
We have a prince.
Well, we've got Renard, and then there's one other light-eyed, I don't know if he's like a lieutenant or something, but Colot, the archer captain. Lynn had slid into Bridge Four's camaraderie easily, as had a couple of the bridgemen. Relaine tried not to feel jealous that they almost seemed more a part of the team than he did. And, like, I can totally see why he feels this way, is because he has to represent his entire population.
Yes, he has to be model and ideal, because if he, like I mentioned before, if he ever personally slips up, everyone will attribute that to his background.
Which sucks. And he does feel so alone. We've heard about, like, how great Bridge Four is for everybody else, and how, like, they feel finally they belong and people are accepted, even though, like, they're addicted to fire moss and they sell their, you know, Bridge Four jacket. We've got a prince who's here who's, like, accepted as one of the people. We've got Lynn, and just, it seems like every other misfit is so easily accepted and, like, absorbed into the group. But Relaine is just such an outlier that, because you'd want to be like, yeah, just accept him for who he is. But you also have to understand that, like, the Alethi have been out here fighting his people for 6 years.
Yeah.
And that is not something that you can change overnight. And so it's not like I'm telling, oh, just be patient, Relaine. Oh, just be patient with them. Like,
yeah,
it's going to take adjustment from everyone.
Yeah. And it's a demonstration that to build a truly inclusive space does not mean one person from each viewpoint.
Yeah.
It means multiple people with, like, similar backgrounds and similar viewpoints. Because you cannot take such a small sample size to get a good portion of a whole, a complex whole.
Yeah. Like, if I were suddenly abducted by aliens and they're like, you are the representative for Earth, I'm like, bad choice.
I only speak one language.
I only went to English school. I didn't go to art school.
I didn't go to politics school. I didn't go to art school. Yeah. I do a podcast. Okay, so there's one of the bridgemen who's there is Eth. Now, do you remember ever seeing the name Eth before?
No, I don't.
Okay. He was a book one bridgeman.
Okay.
His brother, Mart, he and his brother were made bridgemen together. Mm-hmm. Mart was killed by Zeth. Zeth killed him during
the... Because he felt he had to. I'm so sorry. I apologize. I'm so sorry.
Until you really feel bad and change your ways, I'm not gonna let this go. No, when Zeth attacks, this is when Zeth and Kaladin go out the window and he ends up cutting Kaladin's arm. Mort was the bridgeman who died. So Eth's brother died.
Hobber was the other one there,
yes,
right?
Yes, Hobber got wounded then, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So yeah, that's when Hobber's legs got shard-bladed and then Mort died. And Kaladin carried Hopper back. And then Adolin's like, his sleeve. World's greatest detective, Adolin Colin.
Yeah.
So we see Kaladin for a bit. And Emily, you're right. We have not seen a lot of Kaladin point of view in this second
part. I miss
him. So as they're all gathered around the water cooler, drinking Kremlin juice.
Gross.
Scar says, well, are we going to talk about Renarin?
And the thing is, people are freaked out is too strong a word. Concerned.
Uncomfortable. They're judging. They're judging. They're like, he is not one of us.
Mm-hmm. Because Kaladin's like, what are we worried about? Like, is there a problem? And it's revealed that they're worried that he is learning such a feminine art, such as reading. And this is the best conversation.
Specifically that he's learning to read a Lethe language. Because Kaladin's like, I can read glyphs. Sigsel can read his language. And they're like, it's not the same. It's feminine. Now, Evelie, tell me more.
Okay. It's feminine, Drahi added. Drahi, Kaladin said, you are literally courting a man. So, Drahi said, yeah, what are you saying, Cal? Scar snapped. Nothing, I just thought Drahi might empathize. That's hardly fair, Drahi said. Yeah, Lopin said, Drahi likes other guys. That's like, he wants to be even less around women than the rest of us. It's the opposite of feminine. He is, you could say, extra manly. And it's so funny, because we have talked a lot about society is a made-up construct, and the idea of, like, these foods only men can eat, and these foods only women can eat, and men can only do this, and da-da-da. But the thing is, like, if you went to any other society, they don't have these rules, and you could just do whatever you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that they're bringing all of these... So it's Brandon does this stuff where he starts small. Where, remember that conversation that Sigsil had with Kaladin about, here's all the changes that are coming up. Drahi needs to fill out these forms because he's dating a man. We've got who's worshiping what god. Like this conglomeration of ideas is coming together, and I'm interested to see what will come out of it. Like, at the end of it, are they not going to care in just this bridge for coalition that if a man can read or not? Are they going to care if a woman decides she doesn't want to cover up her safe hand? Like, things can change just by people deciding they can change. Like, what, I mean, is there anything besides, like, murder is wrong, you know, that they want to adopt into this group? And I hope I'm making sense, but the idea that like Rock brings up that all of you have felt out of place, and yet we all accept you for who you are. And it's I like that Brandon is starting, like, we see Bridge Four as kind of like the ideal society at this point. Like, they're making mistakes, but they're learning from them.
Yes. They are breaking away from the systems that they grew up in, and they're trying to build, like, a newer, juster system from the start. Now, this is hard because each of them come, like, pre-programmed with who they were before. But they are trying. And so Kaladin finally calls things out. Although, like, as Relaine is watching this, he's like, he feels embarrassed for them.
Yeah.
He is embarrassed for them because humans are always in mate form. They are always distracted by the emotions and passions of mating. So Kaladin is finally like, wait, stop. We've let 5 women into Bridge 4. Like, we're
doing actual, okay.
Like, we have actual women here.
Yeah.
And even if what Renarin is doing is more feminine, there are whole ass women in Bridge 4. Being feminine and being in Bridge 4 is okay. And, like, they don't have perfect language to, like, describe what they're doing. And they're not all being politically correct as they talk. Because that's not who they are. That's not Bridge 4. And they are... Oh, Relaine is, like, watching them struggle and being like, you're so close. You guys are so... Come on, you're almost there.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, Rock says, and I think you were talking a little about this before, during the last few weeks, how many of you have come to me saying you feel like you don't fit in with Bridge 4? And we saw Renarin do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sigsil raises his hand, Scar, several others, including Hobbert. And then Rock's like, Hobbert, you never came to me about this. He's like, yeah, but I feel it. I still have nightmares, Leighton said softly, about what we saw in the bowels of Urethiru. I have trouble, Alethi, Huio said. It makes me embarrassing, alone. I'm scared of heights, Torfin added. Flying up there is terrifying to me. A few glanced at Teft. What? Teft demanded. You expect this to be a feeling-sharing party because the storming horn eater gave you the sour eye? Storm off. It's a miracle I'm not burning moss every moment of the day having to deal with you, Lud. So they're like, listen, we're all weirdos. We are the island of misfit toys.
Is that the song of the week?
Sure.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for helping me pick a song of the week. But then Relaine, they don't let Relaine talk about this. Relaine doesn't get to share what he's feeling. Mm-hmm. Even though, like, Hobber slaps him on the back, it was the closest any of them came to asking how he felt. Was it childish of him to feel frustrated? And then Kaladin finally comes to talk with Relaine, and he says, hey, do you want the rest of the day off? And Relaine is like, he doesn't even say anything. But Kaladin says, hey, listen, you heard what Rock said. I know how you feel. We can help you. And Relaine's like, do you know how I feel? Sorry, Relaine is much more put together and calm than that. But he's like, do you actually know how I feel, Kaladin Stormblessed? Or is that simply a thing men say? And then Kaladin asks. That's what Relaine wanted. He wanted, like, he didn't want to speak up and say, hey, the way you guys are treating me is unfair. Which he's had to do with Kaladin several times already. And it's like, yeah. Third time's the charm. Finally, Kaladin is like, will you tell me? Do you want to tell me?
Yeah, he says, Kaladin pulled over an upside down bucket for himself. Can you tell me how it feels? Did he really want to know? Relaine considered, then attuned resolve. I can try. Because that's Yay! The thing. I would have had zero empathy for Relaine had he been like, Kaladin just won't get it, so I won't even try to explain it. But like, that's part of the thing, and that's the hardest for me, anyways. That's the thing, is like opening up and sharing your vulnerabilities with people is an important thing to do in order to help them understand. It's not fair to expect people to just understand your struggles, you know, just mm-hmm. by osmosis.
Mm-hmm. All right. Chapter 56, always with you. Tell me about those heralds.
All right. We have Yezrian and we have Nathan.
No.
The helmet is Telenolat.
Yes, and also Blasted. There's no herald called Nathan. Nathan. Sorry. It's all right. You did
it's
really
as bad
good.
As the name Bluth.
All right. We've got Yezrian and Taln. Give me that epigraph.
I am also made uncertain by your subterfuge. Why have you not made yourself known to me before this? How is it you can hide? Who are you truly, and how do you know so much about Adenalsium? Is that how people world hop? You have to have Adenalsium?
No.
Oh, that was a good guess, Rainbow? Though.
No.
Okay. Is no. Adenalsium what powers the world?
No. Okay. No.
Okay.
Ooh.
What was that?
That was my cat trying to jump and then hitting his head on the bottom of the couch. Come here, BB.
Was that BB? Your second child?
Yes. Come here, buddy. Let me brush your head. Make that bonk feel better. Oh, yeah. There you go. Oh, let's fix that bonk. Can I pet that dog? Can I pet that dog? Okay.
All right.
Here we go. Man, I hope you find out what Adenalsium is someday soon.
I do too. I'm tired of this, Grandpa.
Like, I knew. I knew what Adenalsium. No. Like, this was a word of Brandon I knew going into Words of Radiance.
Oh. And
it's so interesting. Like, the long, slow, dark of Mordor. No. What's the place they go in the first? Moria. The long, slow, dark of Moria. where you're like, what's ad nauseum? Is it this or this or this? And I'm like, if I had waited to find out what had happened in the books, I would have gone, I would have kicked a wall down. Anyway, Dalinar is in a vision.
Yes, and he has brought someone with him this time. Two someones. He's brought Navani and Yasna. And specifically, I think he's brought Yasna so that she can help pinpoint what time frame this is in. And I love that we just get to see again. Like, we know how smart Yasna is, but she's just like, oh, the type of tools is very helpful. But also the sort of dye.
Architecture, dye, yeah. this. And she very confidently dates it to maybe 2,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. Do you remember how long ago the heralds abandoned everyone?
5,000 years ago?
Around mm-hmm. that, 4,500. Mm-hmm. And if Yasna's dating is correct, that meant the Radiance stuck around for 2,000 years after the heralds all vanished.
Yeah, 3,000 years.
Okay, ish.
It's emotionally closer.
Yeah.
She talks about it could be the false desolation, where she's trying to, you know, pinpoint this. A legend, Yasna said, considered pseudo-historical. Dovkanti wrote an epic about it somewhere around 1,500 years ago. The claim is that some Voidbringers survived Haratium, and there were many clashes with them afterwards. It's considered unreliable, but that's because many later Ardents insist that no Voidbringers could have survived. Anyway, she's just like, she is so knowledgeable. She's like a walking encyclopedia, and it's just so handy to have her.
Well, Yasna goes off to try and fact find. Turns out Dalinar brought a third person into this vision. Who's here?
Yonagon, which is also Gox.
It's Gox! Gox is here. Mm-hmm. And this isn't his first rodeo.
No.
He's been hanging out in here with Dalinar a few times.
Mm-hmm. And he starts to, confide in Dalinar as well. We're kind of getting the idea that Gox is not a puppet king, but also he's not what the Azish court is used to. And he's like, they're stuffing this education down my throat. Like, I'm not really the one ruling. And Dalinar's like, you can still do something. Like, I think Gox has like slowly become resigned to the fact that he's just like, this is my life. I live in a palace, but I have no real power. And mm-hmm. Dalinar's like, starts like plotting with him, like, hey, tell people you've started receiving visions from the Almighty and you want to at least come to Yirithiru. Like, you don't have to open the Oath Gate. You just need to like come visit. And he's just trying to help this boy, I say, not feel like he's worth something or feel that he can do things, but he's just like, you are what I have, and please work with me.
We get a couple lift mentions.
Yes, we do.
That the first is that, oh, he's like, oh, there was a miracle that got you, that, you know, that was published. There was a miracle that got you chosen. He's like, that was lift. And then later on, he's like, lift doesn't trust you, Dalinar. Mm-hmm. You act so righteous. She says, anyone who acts like you do is trying to hide something.
And I'm just like, yeah, Dalinar has a lot of stuff. I don't know that he's trying to hide it, because like, if he's ashamed about his Blackthorn heritage, everybody knows about that. So I'm wondering if that's what Lift is getting at. Like Dalinar's trying so hard to make up for this terrible thing that he did, mm-hmm. but it's not a secret. So I don't know if she knows something that I don't know. I don't know.
Anyway, we get to the pre-recorded message at the end of the vision. Mm-hmm. And then the vision ends, right?
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 Everybody leaves.
What happened?
There is someone else standing there.
Who is it?
Okay.
Tell me about him.
The man was old, with a wide furrowed face and bone-white hair that swept back from his head as if blown by wind. And I was like, it's Wit! But then it starts talking about a mustache a short white beard, thick mustaches with a hint of black. He seemed to be Shin, judging by his skin and eyes, and he wore a golden crown in his powdery hair. Those eyes, they were ancient, the skin surrounding them deeply creased, and they danced with joy as he smiled at Dalinar and rested a golden scepter on his shoulder. And Dalinar's like, it's God! And
he's you're just him. Like, just like, him. It's just like I was pictured.
Yeah, yeah. And I was also getting Taravangian vibes about, like, this kindly old man, which should have been a huge clue, because guess who the bleep this is?
Where have you been, Dalinar said. I've always been here, God said. Always with you, Dalinar. Oh, I've watched you for a long, long time. Here? You're not the Almighty, are you? Honor? No. He truly is dead, as you've been told. The old man's smile deepened. Genuine and kindly. I'm the other one, Dalinar. They call me Odium. What the frick frack patty whack? Now, Emily has not gotten to read the next chapter.
No, I have not.
I am going to read it to her.
Okay.
All right.
Read chapter... me the epigraph.
I was just going to. Chapter 57. Passion. If you would speak to me further, I request open honesty. Return to my lands, approach my servants, and I will see what I can do for your quest. Odium. Dalinar scrambled to his feet, lurching backwards and seeking a weapon he didn't possess. Odium, standing in front of him. The Stormfather had grown distant, almost vanished, but Dalinar could sense a faint emotion from him. A whine, like he was straining against something heavy? No. No, that was a whimper. Aww. Odium rested his golden scepter against the palm of his hand, then turned to regard the men fighting over shard blades. I remember this day, Odium said. Such passion. And such loss. Terrible for many, but glorious for others. You are wrong about why the Radiance fell, Dalinar. There was infighting among them, true, but no more than in other eras. They were honest men and women with different views at times, but unified in their desire to do what was best. What do you want of me? Dalinar said, hand to his breast, breathing quickly. Storms, he wasn't ready. Could he ever be ready for this moment? Odium strolled over to a small boulder and settled down. He sighed in relief, like a man releasing a heavy burden, then nodded to the space next to him. Dalinar made no move.
Don't go sit by this man.
You have been placed in a difficult position, my son, Odium said. You are the first to bond the Stormfather in his current state. Did you know that? You are deeply connected to the remnants of a god. Whom you killed. Yes. I'll kill the other one too, eventually.
Oh no!
She's hidden herself somewhere, and I'm too shackled. You're a monster. Oh, Dalinar. This from you, of all people? Tell me you've never found yourself in conflict with someone you respect. Tell me you've never killed a man because you had to, even if, in a better world, he shouldn't deserve it. Dalinar bit back a retort. Yes, he had done that too many times. I know you, Dalinar, Odium said. He smiled again, a paternal expression. Come sit down. I won't devour you or burn you away at a touch. Dalinar hesitated.
Here's all the things I won't do to you, but I could do to you.
You need to hear what he says. Even this creature's lies can tell you more than a world of common truths. He walked over, then stiffly sat down. What do you know of us three? Odium asked. Honestly, I wasn't even aware there were three of you.
Yeah.
More, in fact, Odium said, absently. But only three of relevance to you. Me. Honor. Cultivation. You speak of her, don't you? I suppose, Dalinar said, some people identify her with Roshar, the spren of the world itself. She'd like that, Odium said. I wish I could simply let her have this place. So do it. Leave us alone. Go away.
It's like Yasna talking to Amaram. Go away.
Odium turned to him so sharply that Dalinar jumped. Is that, Odium said quietly, an offer to release me from my bonds?
Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. That's a fey bargain.
Coming from the man holding the remnants of Honor's name and power. Dalinar stammered. Idiot, you're not some raw recruit. Pull yourself together. No, he said firmly. All right then, Odium said. He smiled, a twinkle in his eye. Oh, don't fret so. These things must be done properly. I will go if you release me, but only if you do it by intent. Hey, Emily, intent is capitalized.
Oh, thank you.
And what are the consequences of my releasing you? Well, first, I'd see to cultivation's death. There would be other consequences, as you call them, as well. Eyes burned as men swept about themselves with shard blades, killing others who had mere moments before been their comrades. Comrades. It was a frantic, insane brawl for power. And you can't just leave, Dalinar asked, without killing anyone?
You can't just let them surrender, said Evie. You can't just...
Well, let me ask you this in return. Why did you seize control of Alethkar from poor Elokar? I... Don't reply. Don't give him ammunition. You knew it was for the best, Odium said. You knew that Elokar was weak, and the kingdom would suffer without firm leadership. You took control for the greater good, and it has served Roshar well. Nearby, a man stumbled towards them, limping out of the fray. His eyes burned as a shard blade rammed through his back, protruding 3 feet out of his chest. He fell forward, eyes trailing twin lines of smoke. A man cannot serve two gods at once, Dalinar, Odium said, and so I cannot leave her behind. In fact, I cannot leave behind the splinters of honor, as I once thought I could. I can already see that going wrong.
Still's in trouble!
Once you release me, my transformation of this realm will be substantial. You think you'll do better? Dalinar wet his mouth, which had gone dry. Do better than others would for this land? You, a manifestation of hatred and pain? They call me Odium, the old man said. A good enough name, it does have a certain bite to it. But the word is too limiting to describe me, and you should know that it is not all I represent. Which is? He looked to Dalinar. Passion, Dalinar Kolin. I am emotion incarnate.
See the thrill?
I am the soul of Spren and of men. I am lust, joy, hatred, anger, and exaltation. I am glory and I am vice. I am the very thing that makes men, men.
Honor cared highly only, of yourself, sir.
Honor cared only for bonds. Not the meaning of bonds and oaths, merely that they were kept. Cultivation only wants to see transformation, growth. It could be good or bad for all she cares. The pain of men is nothing to her. Only I understand it. Only I care, Dalinar. I don't believe that, Dalinar thought. I can't believe that. My nose is itching so bad someone is talking about me. The old man sighed, then heaved himself to his feet. If you could see the result of Honor's influence, you would not be so quick to name me a god of anger. Separate the emotion from men, and you have creatures like Nail and his Skybreakers. That is what honor would have given you. Dalinar nodded towards the terrible fray on the field before them. You said I was wrong about what caused the Radiants to abandon their oaths. What was it really? Odium smiled. Passion, son. Glorious, wondrous passion. Emotion, it is what defines men, though ironically you are poor vessels for it. It fills you up and breaks you unless you find someone to share the burden. He looked towards the dying men. But can you imagine a world without it? No, Not one that I'd want to live in. Ask that of cultivation next time you see her. Ask what she'd want for Roshar.
The next time?
I think you'll find me to be the better choice. Next time, Dalinar said. I've never seen her. Of course you have, Odium said, turning and walking away.
Is it Navani?
She simply robbed you of that memory.
Rude. Is it Evie?
Her touch is not how I would have helped you. It stole a part of you away and left you like a blind man who can't remember that he once had sight. Dalinar stood up. I offer you a challenge of champions, with terms to be discussed. Will you accept it?
He's got a great presence of mind to do this.
Odium stopped, then turned slowly. Do you speak for the world, Dalinar Kolin?
Dalinar!
Offer this for all of Roshar? Storms, would he? Either way, I don't accept. Odium stood taller, smiling in an unnerving, understanding way. I need not take on such a risk, for I know, Dalinar Kolin, that you will make the right decision. You will free me. No, Dalinar stood. You shouldn't have revealed yourself, Odium. I once feared you, but it is easier to fear what you don't understand. I've seen you now, and I can fight you. You've seen me, have you? Curious. Odium smiled again. Then everything went white.
Oh, no.
Dalinar found himself standing on a speck of nothingness that was the entire world, looking up at an eternal, all-embracing flame. It stretched in every direction, starting as red, moving to orange, then changing to a blazing white. Then, somehow, the flame seemed to burn into a deep blackness, violet and angry. This was something so...
The wine spectrum.
This is something so terrible that it consumed light itself. It was hot, a radiance indescribable, intense heat, and black fire colored violet at the outside, burning, overwhelming. Power. It was the scream of 1,000 warriors on the battlefield. It was the moment of most sensual touch and ecstasy. It was the sorrow of loss, the joy of victory, and it was hatred. Deep, pulsing hatred with a pressure to turn all things molten. It was the heat of 1,000 suns. It was the bliss of every kiss. It was the lives of all men wrapped up in one, defined by everything they felt. Even taking in the smallest fraction of it terrified Dalinar. It left him tiny and frail. He knew if he drank of that raw, concentrated, liquid, black fire, he would be nothing in a moment. The entire planet of Roshar would puff away, no more consequential than the curling smoke of a snuffed-out candle. It faded, and Dalinar found himself lying on the rock outside Feverstone Keep, staring upward. Above him, the sun seemed dim and cold. Everything felt frozen by contrast. Odium knelt down beside him, then helped him rise to a seated position. There, that was a smidge too much, wasn't it?
Oh.
I'd forgotten how overwhelming that could be. Here, take a drink.
No, don't drink!
He handed Dalinar a water skin. Dalinar looked at it, baffled, then up at the old man. In Odium's eyes, he could see that violet-black fire, deep, deep within. The figure with whom Dalinar spoke was not the god. It was merely a face, a mask. Because if Dalinar had to confront the true force behind those smiling eyes, he would go mad. Odium patted him on the shoulder. Take a minute, Dalinar. I'll leave you here. Relax. He cut off, then frowned, spinning. He searched the rocks. What? Dalinar asked. Nothing.
Nothing.
Just an old man's mind playing tricks on him. He patted Dalinar on the arm. We'll speak again, I promise. He vanished in an eye blink. Dalinar collapsed backward, completely drained. Storms, just... Storms. That guy, a girl's voice said, is creepy. Dalinar shifted, sitting up with difficulty. A head popped up from behind some nearby rocks. Tan skin, pale eyes, long dark hair, lean, girlish figures. I mean, old men are all creepy, Lift said. seriously, all wrinkly and, hey, want some sweets? And, oh, listen to this boring story. I'm on to them. They can act nice all they want, but nobody gets old without ruining a whole bunch of lives. She climbed over the rocks. She wore fine Asish clothing now compared to the simple trousers and shift from last time. Colorful patterns on robes, a thick overcoat and cap. Even as old people go, that one was extra creepy, she said softly. What was that thing, tight butt? Didn't smell like a real person. They call it odium, Dalinar said exhausted, and it is what we fight. Huh, compared to that, you're nothing. Thank you? She nodded as if it were a compliment. I'll talk to Gox. You got good food at that tower city of yours? We can prepare some for you. Yeah, I don't care what you prepare. What do you eat? Is it good? Yes. Not military rations or some such nonsense, right?
Get out of here with those MREs.
Not usually. Great. She looked at the place where Odium had vanished and shivered visibly. We'll visit. She paused, then poked him in the arm. Don't tell Gox about the Odium thing, okay? He's got too many old people to worry about already. Dalinar nodded. The bizarre girl vanished, and moments later, the vision finally faded. The end of part two!
Part two!
Hey, Emily.
Hey!
Passion.
Oh, they're in big trouble.
All right. So since I just read the whole thing out loud, I think they were going to hard talk through it. But what were some of the highlights? What were some of the things you learned? What were some things they talked about?
Here's some of the things I'm wondering. If, like, every god is, like, claiming a world and turning it into what they want, they're making a new society, but I mean, they're only focusing on, like, their attribute. At least that's what it sounded like. So, like, passion is like, I want a world of passion. Whereas, what was it? Not contemplation. Who's the...
Cultivation.
Well, he's just like, she doesn't want any of that. And her world would be kind of different. And I'm just like, huh, sounds like when Bridge 4 was talking and how they're trying to, like, integrate all of these different things together. These gods are so solitary and they are so arrogant in believing that their way is the best way.
Interesting.
I just found that interesting. He could tell that Lyft was there. Is Lyft cultivation? Is Lyft more than meets the eye?
Well, Lyft has spoken to... Okay, well, okay. Night Watcher.
Yes.
Apparently, cultivation is who took Dalinar's memory.
Mm-hmm. Yes, not the Night Watcher.
Unless
cultivation is the Night Watcher.
There you go. That's true, but we don't know. Mm-hmm. You guessed that earlier. You have guessed that cultivation was the Night Watcher before.
I don't remember that.
And you also guessed something else about it, but we'll talk about that later.
Okay. I enjoyed... Okay, Odium's entrance was fabulous. And him being like, oh, you want me to leave? You just have to say the word sort of a thing. And I was just like, Dalinar, don't be stupid! Like... Thankfully, he wasn't. And thankfully, he didn't drink whatever Odium was going to, like, give him or whatever. It was a good introduction. I did get very Taravangian vibes from this, though, about, like, hey, I'm your friend until, like, I could actually kill you.
But yeah, Odium could sense that Lyft was around. And we know that Lyft can come into the Stormfather's visions without the Stormfather's permission. But hey... What was happening to Stormfather while Dalinar's having this vision?
It almost seemed like he was afraid, you know, of just, I don't know if he was caught up in memories of when, you know, his of honor was killed or whatnot. But I'm hoping that the next time Dalinar has to face Odium, the Stormfather will be there with him. Because here's the thing. I'm just like, I like Ivory. Pattern's not that great, but I like Syl. Stormfather is not too high up in my book because he's just like, I am honor. I am blah, 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 blah,
He's like, I won't do this. I won't do it. I won't do it. I won't do it.
And yeah. Then
he, yeah.
And then
he's
like,
always tell the truth.
Yeah, and he's like, you can't have, I won't turn into a sword. You can't have me. That sort of thing. And I'm just like, sir, you're going to have to be a lot more flexible if you want to win this war.
Ugh. Anyway, I'm going to read you all the epigraphs.
All right, let's do it.
Now, Emily, I've slightly misled you.
Oh.
Where I said that these epigraphs were a letter back to Hoyd.
Yes.
This is actually three letters back to Hoyd from three different people.
Oh, okay.
So here is the first letter, and this starts chapter 33.
Okay.
Dearest Sephandrius, I received your communication, of course. I noticed its arrival immediately, just as I noticed your many intrusions into my land. You think yourself so clever, but my eyes are not those of some petty noble, to be clouded by a false nose and some dirt on the cheeks. You mustn't worry yourself about Reis. It is a pity about Aona and Skye, but they were both foolish, violating our pact from the very beginning. Your skills are admirable, but you are merely a man. You had your chance to be more and refused it. No good can come of two shards settling in one location. It was agreed we would not interfere with one another, and it disappoints me that so few of the shards have kept to this original agreement. As for Uli Da, it was obvious from the outset that she was going to be a problem. Good riddance. Regardless, this is not your concern. You turned your back on divinity. If race becomes an issue, he will be dealt with, and so will you. Aona and Skye were Dominion and Devotion. The named proper nouns on Elantris world. They were shattered by Odium.
Sorry, Devotion and who?
Dominion.
Dominion. Okay, I'm trying to keep everything straight.
And it was agreed, the shards agreed we would not interfere with one another. And it disappoints me that so few of the shards have kept to this original agreement. So Dominion and Devotion, Honor, Odium, Cultivation, these are the names of shards. Capital okay. S shards. As for Uli Da, which is the name of another shard that... okay, so we know that some of the shards also have names. So Odium's name was Race. Mm-hmm. Uli Da is another shard that Odium splintered. We don't know what world she's from, but I will tell you, she mm-hmm. was the shard Ambition.
Okay.
And she is also, she's also shattered. She's also splintered. So, we know that Odium has taken out Dominion, Devotion, Honor, and whatever the f*** I just said. Ambition. Okay. Second letter. That was the one we just read. Second letter, starting at chapter 42. Sephandrius, bearer of the first gem. You must know better than to approach us by relying upon presumption of past relationship. You have spoken to one who cannot respond. We, instead, will take your communication to us, though we know not how you located us upon this world. We are indeed intrigued, for we thought it well hidden, insignificant among our many realms. As the waves of the sea continue to surge, so must our will continue resolute alone. Did you expect anything else from us? We need not suffer the interference of another. Race is contained, and we care not for his prison. Indeed, we admire his initiative. Perhaps if you had approached the correct one of us with your plea, it would have found favorable audience. But we stand in the sea, pleased with our domains. Leave us alone. We also instruct you should not return to Obradai. We have claimed that world, and a new avatar of our being is beginning to manifest there. She is young yet, and as a precaution, she has been instilled with an intense and overpowering dislike of you. That is all we will say at this time. If you wish more, seek these waters in person and overcome the tests we have created. Only in this will you earn our respect. So, that is an avatar of a shard.
Okay.
So that's why he's saying, oh, you've reached us, one of us, some of us, a new avatar. So whoever this shard is, they have divided their power amongst multiple avatars that they've spread across several worlds.
Okay.
Because, you know, Honor was just one person. Mm-hmm. And Odium is just one person. and this shard has spread themselves out amongst multiple people.
Okay.
So Hoyt has been writing these letters to tons of different shards saying, hey, problem, are you going to help? Here is the third letter. Friend, your letter is most intriguing, even revelatory. I would have thought, before attaining my current station, that a deity could not be surprised. Obviously, that is not true. I can be surprised. I can perhaps even be naive, I think. I am the least equipped of all to aid you in this endeavor. I am finding that the powers I hold are in such conflict that the most simple of actions can be difficult. I am also made uncertain by your subterfuge. Why have you not made yourself known to me before this? How is it you can hide? Who are you truly, and how do you know so much about Adenalsium? If you would speak to me further, I request open honesty. Return to my lands, approach my servants, and I will see what I can do for your quest. Mm. This is a character you've met before in the Cosmere.
And I know this person.
You do. Because they're holding two powers that are opposed to each other. And that's hard to do.
I'm going to bleep out the name.
Yep.
But is it the one from Mistborn?
I'm going to bleep out the name. Is it? Does not even actually say a name. Yes. Okay. Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Worlds collide. Oh my gosh.
That's why you're so mad about me that I need That's to
be so mad. I'm like, I want to talk more about it. All right. So that was the end of part two. We are going to read the interludes. Kaza, Taravangian, and Venli.
Venli.
Now, since there are only three interludes, we are also going to read, let's see, three interludes, and how much is that? 20 pages? We're going to read in some of part three. We're going to read chapter 58, Burdens, and chapter 59, Bondsmith.
Ooh. Who are the point of view characters for?
I'm so glad you asked. Okay. Let me tell you. The point of view characters for part three are Dalinar, Shallan, Kaladin,
freaking finally,
and Adolin.
Yes! We get to find out more about World's Greatest Detective!
World's Greatest Detective.
I'm going to guess that Kaladin figures out what Adolin has done and they keep it a secret together and they bond over murder.
Ugh. Why is my nose itching so bad? Okay, you know what? That's enough podcasting. Listeners, we did it. Thanks for hanging out with us through some pretty intense revelations. Emily, so we know in part three that we've got Dalinar is finally getting some world leaders to listen to him. And we have a team going for Kolinar, the capital city. Mm-hmm. And that team has... we know Shallan gave us the roster. It's Elokar, Kaladin, Adolin, Shallan, and a few of the Bridgemen.
Are we going to finally get into the Kolin Civil War?
So I'm going to ask you some questions.
Okay.
Are we about to get into the Kolin Civil War?
Yes, yes. And we're going to meet Elokar's secret wife.
What has been happening in the city since the riots began?
I don't think... Well, I mean, duh, this is stupid. The listeners aren't there yet. They're preparing for it. But I think it's going to be very French revolution of, hey, you are out of touch with the people and we're sick of it and we're starving in the streets.
Okay, French Revolution. Have they breached the palace yet?
Ooh, I'm going to say no.
Okay.
I feel like if they had, then the span reeds inside the palace would have been used to communicate either like, hey, these are our demands. We're holding, you know, the queen ransom, that sort of thing. But I'm hoping that we also find some more radiance.
All right. Okay, what's it going to be like when the Parshendi attack the capital?
Bad.
Okay. How's Shallan doing?
Not good.
How's Adolin doing?
Not good.
How's Kaladin doing?
I don't think he's going to be doing well. Well, I think he's going to be stressed. I don't think he's doing poorly. I just think he's going to be stressed and is going to question, what am I doing? What is my purpose?
And how is Elokar going to deal with the anti-regent's sentiments within the city?
Am I king, Ankel? No, he's going to go, oh, Dalinar's king now, not me.
Don't even worry about it. I am not king. Go talk to my uncle. Is everyone going to make it back out of the city?
No, why would you say that, Megan?
Always be prepared.
I don't want to. You're the worst.
Are we going to make any new friends?
Yes, I want new Radiants. I want Taravangians, okay. Radiant to come on our side.
Great.
Yep.
And
I want Yasna to find a new ward that she can boss around that's not Shallan.
Great. I'm going to let you know, you have no idea what's coming.
Oh, dear.
You have no idea. You're going to be like, what? What? And then I'm going to have some really great artwork for Marie to show you. Okay.
Oh, I was going to bring that up really fast. Just that, remember how I'm always like, oh, I knew this was coming, but Brandon made it happen earlier. Blah, 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 blah.
Uh-huh.
Odium shows up and I'm just like, I'm not. Yeah. This is like a book 7 thing.
Odium just showed up and was like, hey, Dalinar, what's up? Remember how Dalinar almost was like, go, get out of here. And Odium's like, really? And Dalinar's like, no.
Forget I said that.
All right. Well, I love you. Thank you so much for podcasting with me.
I want to do a quick shout out. If you liked this and you want to get some more content, join our Patreon, $3 level. The We Believe in You is going to get you into our Discord, where we usually ask questions to answer on the podcast, but we forgot to do that this time. $7 level is Friend of the Pod, and you get all your episodes out early on Mondays for all of our feed. That includes the Miscellaneous, where we're currently doing the guest. This includes the Dark Academia feed, where we are doing the Scholomance, and it also includes for our Tier 3 patrons, Honorary Sibling, you get a new feed, and it is Megan and I going through the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and it's just for you. So if you go to patreon.com/sismademeviewit, you can get it there. We also want to shout out Michael B. and Cardi for the use of his song A Passing Storm. Thank you so much for letting us use up Michael. And yeah, that's a full evening of podcasting right there in the bag.
Are we still podcasting?
No,
goodbye, listeners.
I love you so much.
My name's Megan. I'm going to finish wolfing down my dinner.
My name's Emily. I'm going to go write down my book.
You can definitely do it. Do you know how I know this?
How do you know this?
I believe in you.
I believe in you. Ready? Break.